Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning together the laws of eating. You say to yourself, what does that have to do with me? Surely Judaism talks about the ritual parts of my belief system. So the truth is Judaism talks about every part, even how we eat. We're going to take a look at some of those concepts as we get into this today. We're going to look at five basic concepts. Concept number one is feeding one's animals. Concept number two is meal etiquette. Number three, care for the bread. Number four, humility when eating. And number five, making breaks in the meal. These are all very important ideas, and a lot of them are not just in the realm of brachos, of blessings. These are about how one conducts oneself and how the ideas of Judaism are supposed to distill themselves into the way that one conducts themselves. Let's jump straight in. Feeding one's animals. When must I feed my animals? So the answer is that one must feed on animals before one eats one's own food. Why is this? So we actually learn this from a few places in the Torah. One place is the Torah says, "Nasati esev esolchali v'mtecha." I will give, says Hashem, I will give grass for your animals to eat in the fields, v'achalta v'savata, and you will eat and be satisfied, implying that the eating of the animals happens first as well. And this is the most basic idea, is that it cannot be that one's animal is in pain, one's animal is suffering before one starts eating as well. What about drinking? So when it comes to drinking, one is allowed to drink before giving one's animal a drink. Why is this different? So the Torah actually describes this by Eliezer and Rivka in Parshas Chayesara, where it describes the guy, she says, "V'gam gmalecho ashke." You drink, Eliezer, and then I will give your camels to drink. So we see that drinking is fine to have the human being drinking before the animals as well. What about children? So the Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, points out that children who cannot feed themselves by themselves, so they are not independent, should get even before animals. The point is that anybody who is dependent on you needs to be taken care of first as well. How far does this go? So the halacha, this is a fascinating halacha, is that let's say one has washed one's hands in a tilas or diamond, and one has forgotten to have fed one's animals, one is allowed to even interrupt with talking to say, has somebody fed the pets? Because that is considered tzorech hasur, you're not allowed to really eat until you've fed the pet, so therefore that needs to happen. Most people are completely unaware of this. If an animal has a fixed time of eating at once a day, let's say a dog eats at 5 o'clock every day, that's fine. But if the animal is generally fed around mealtimes and you're having your mealtime, you're not allowed to eat until you feed that pet. Let's go to concept number two, meal etiquette. So we're going to look at a few basic points over here. Look at just a few 13 basic questions. What posture should I be in for eating? So one should be, should not drink or eat when one is standing. There's a quick poem which is, if you stand when you eat, you'll have fat feet. But that's not halacha. But this particular issue is that one should be sitting when eating. This is basic etiquette. How should my table look? So the table should be clean and covered, even if one's eating a small meal by oneself. At what speed should I be drinking? So generally speaking, it's recommended to drink a cup in two swallows. If one is just swallowing the entire cup in one swallow, that is considered gluttonous. More than that is considered projecting a over-refined person, who, as if one is so royal that one can only take small sips. Doesn't this depend on the type of cup? The answer is yes. Smaller cups can be drunk in one swallow, and bigger cups require more. Doesn't it also depend on the beverage? The answer is yes. If it's alcoholic or if it's a hot beverage, it obviously takes slow. But we're talking about the norm is a person should not be too extreme in one direction. One should not be too extremely voracious, and a person should not be too extremely dignified. How should I take a piece of bread? So one should not rip it apart with one's two hands. One should take it off a piece and put it on one's bowl or plate and then eat it from there as well. What do I do with leftovers? One has to be careful not to bite from food or sip from drink and then pass that to somebody else. That is disgusting and it will put other people off. One has to be sensitive to the needs of others. What tone should the meal be in? So one should be very careful, especially as a host, not to be angry or makpid, irritable, because this makes people feel very uncomfortable and it'll end up that people will eat things that they do not want to eat and they're scared, or they won't eat things they do need to eat because of that fear as well. How much talking should be done during the meal? So when one's actually eating, one should not be talking, because that it will lead one to, God forbid, choking. This is something which, generally speaking, culture around us is not so sensitive to in general. People are eating with their mouths full, opening their digestive system for everybody else to see. We don't need that, and it's also dangerous. So when one's eating, one's eating. When one's finished eating, one talks as well. Does that mean the meal has to be silent? So no, of course not. The meal should be filled with conversation of meaning, and especially Dvar Torah. Every meal should have a Dvar Torah, which is why the Ketzer recommends. That's why some have the minhag to say Tehillim Chof Gimel, Mizmor David, right after eating the first kazayas. That adds Torah and spirituality to the meal. And some of the minhag to say Tehillim Kuf Lamed Zayin, 137, before benching, which is called Al Naharos Bavel, Shom Yashavnu Gam Achinu. It's an exile of the prayer in Tehillim. And on Shabbos, where we don't want to mention such depressing ideas, we say Shir HaMaalos instead of it. It's interesting that today we only seem to say Shir HaMaalos on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is wonderful, but that really is the vestigial carryover, or it's meant to be Al Naharos Bavel during the week. That's the replacement of Al Naharos Bavel during the week. So really one should be saying Al Naharos Bavel during the week, and many holy Jews suggest that one should still carry on doing that. If one brings a book to the table, Ketzer makes an observation, one should be careful there's no worms that fall out of it. Obviously, we're talking about old books that perhaps could have anything which could bring in something which is not allowed to be eaten with, and so one should be careful about that as well. Who eats first from the communal bowl? So let's say there's a serving bowl which everybody puts their hands into to take things out of, let's say a bowl of popcorn or whatever else it is. So in that case, one needs to ensure that the person who's greatest gets to eat first. So it should not be the young people just sticking their paws in first. That's inappropriate. One should ensure that the person who is of greatest significance eats first. If one stops eating, what should other people do? So let's say two people are eating together. One person takes a break. They go to the restroom. They just stop eating when they're drinking. The other person should stop eating when they're eating. When they stopped eating, just it's basic etiquette. If there's a group of people and one person stops or takes a restroom break, that's not a problem because you're eating with other people. But you shouldn't be that you're just eating the whole time. It's meant to be a social activity, not just a filling one's gullet activity. Now, moving to the next concept, special care for bread. Bread is a special food. It's seen as the great satiator, and therefore it is treated with special dignity. We'll see some of the halachas that relate to this. Can I use my bread as a spoon to, like, let's say a dip or to pick up some other food with it? The answer is yes, but one should eat a little bit of the bread each time to ensure that it's not just a facilitator. Can I put a bowl on my bread? So let's say I'm just balancing a bowl on it. The answer is no, because if that bowl falls, it'll ruin the bread. One has to be careful not to ruin bread. Can I throw bread to the people at the other end of the table? Sometimes it will be at people's houses and they're dividing up the bread on a Shabbos and they'll throw the bread. Absolutely not. You're not allowed to throw bread. What happens if it won't get ruined? So there's no puddles on the table. I've got a good eye. I'll get it to the right place. The answer is still no. It's a disgrace to throw bread, which is an issue. Can I throw other foods? The answer is yes, if they will not get ruined. So let's say nuts or candies, which won't get ruined. One can technically throw them, but one might be living in a house where Perhaps there might be rules against that, but in terms of halacha, there's no issue. Can I sit on a container which has food in it? The answer is not if it's perishables, and my sitting on it will destroy them. Can I wash hands with wine or other drinks? The answer is no, you're not allowed to use drinks to wash your hands. Can I feed human foods to animals? So if animals have their own food, you're not allowed to feed them human food. It's seen as a disgrace to the food of that type. Obviously, there's no other food, or if that's the food, the diet that they have, then one can obviously feed animals that as well. Can I make bread into medicine if it will ruin the bread? Answer is of course, because that's meant there to save or improve lives. What about the crumbs at the end of the meal? One should be careful not to throw out the crumbs, but rather give them to the birds. And this applies to crumbs, says the Mishnah Berurah, which amounts to the size of a kazayas, about one fluid ounce. It's seen as a sign of anios, of poverty, just to throw away crumbs. And it will lead to that, and so therefore a person should. So I know some people who would have the custom to gather up the little crumbs and eat the crumbs on the breadboard, not just to throw them away. One should be careful and sensitive to these issues. Similarly, people are careful when it comes to the bread at the end of the table, not just to throw them out in the garbage, to gather them, put them in a napkin, and dispose of them respectfully, even the ones wrapping up the entire tablecloth. We move to our fourth concept, which is humility when one eats. So a few basic points over here, eight questions. How should I drink water? So one needs to be sure that one does not look in the face of others when they're drinking water. And therefore one should try not to do it in the face of others while one is drinking water. Does that mean every time? So the answer is no, only during the meal there's no concern about this. If it's outside the meal, but a person's drinking, a person should it's turned to the side in humility, and another person should not be watching them, looking at their face. When someone else is eating, are there any recommendations about looking at them? So there's no recommendations. One just needs to give them their space when they're eating. How should one treat a waiter or a drop-in at the meal? So if it's a really pungent and delicious meal, you need to make sure you offer the person who's a bystander a little bit of the meal as well, because it could be that they're going to smell this and they're really hungry and they haven't had anything to eat, and it could be, God forbid, something which caused them to be faint. Can I give food to anyone? So the answer is no. One cannot give food to a person who will not do netilas yadayim. One cannot give bread to a person who will not wash their hands for bread beforehand. This is considered lifnei iver. You're allowing them to do a avera by facilitating an avera of eating without washing as well, which is a remarkable idea. There are ways to get around this. So one can educate, and one can say, we have the custom now at our table, in our house, to go wash. And even if they don't listen, one can still give it to them because of the possibility of them having listened as well. Can guests help serve the children of the host? The answer is no. In general, this is just a basic etiquette thing, is don't feed other people's children, because there might be rules, there might be sensitivities, there might not be enough food. Just be careful. Can a guest always eat? So the answer is they have to be sensitive. They need to look around, and if the host does not have enough to eat, then they should not eat. Second, they should be careful about what they're eating to ensure that the host actually has enough for themselves as well. May I guess ask for food? The answer is generally they should wait to be asked. Unless they're a paying guest, a guest should not say, can I have something to eat? They should wait for the host to say, would you like to eat with us? And that'd be the appropriate time to do this as well. Finally, we close off our last concept, which is making breaks in a meal. A person should generally not leave where they eat unless they have said a birkas hamazon and kept that meal in that place. What is considered leaving? So technically speaking, leaving from the house or even leaving the room is a problem. Moving from one side of the room to the other is not as much of a concern. What if I mistakenly left? Do I need a new birkas hamotzi for the beginning of the eating in the new place? The answer is no. Can I say birkas hamazon on the first part of the meal? So yes, you can say birkas hamazon in place number two if you went out, and it will count over the first place's eating. But one should really have a kezias, a section of bread in the new place to join the two as well. Does this apply to non-bread? The answer is no. Generally speaking, we're going to see, and we'll deal with this Be'ezra Hashem in Simon La'nun, the 50th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that one will need to, that when it's a non-hamoitzi, a person's brach, a change of place, will require new brachas. We'll see that. What if we're eating in a group, and some left and returned? So because there was a group there, that creates a kfios, a fixed place, those who are returning are considered anchored there as well. What if I intended to leave mid-meal when I was saying birkas hamotzi, and then also does not break the kfios, the establishment of that meal? What if we took a mincha break? Is a new bracha required? No new hamotzi, because it's considered something which is part of the meal. What if I took a nap or used the restroom? No birkas hamotzi needed, but one does possibly need to wash hands after waking up or going to the bathroom. If I decide to bench, and then I remember there is something else I want to eat, do I need a new bracha? So this is a question of halacha, and it's better not to eat once the decision is made. Meaning to say, if I decided to bench, and I was like, okay, we're going to bench without even saying Rabbi Sina Vorech, without even creating the Zimun, one should be careful not to eat new things at that point in time, because it's a suffix as whether it is a doubtful as whether those things were included in the meal as well. A lot of interesting ideas. This last section was about halachas of benching and what's included in the meal. But the first four sections are really about the etiquette that one should have when one eats and drinks. And these are things that a lot of times people will hear from their parents and their grandparents. And these are basic etiquette. And unfortunately, in a world which is losing its sense of propriety and etiquette, it's important to double down on these ideas to bring up people, to bring up children who are, in fact, reflecting Derech Eretz refinement in the way we eat and drink. Have a wonderful